A warm welcome to Carols by Candlelight at Rudgwick Chapel. You're very welcome with us this afternoon. This is going to be a service of carols and readings. So we're going to sing some a mixture of well-known carols and some newer ones. And we're going to be reading through the account in the Bible of the birth of Christ. Christmas is always a really busy time, isn't it? And our thoughts are often on all the things we have to do, the shopping we need to do, presents we need to buy, Christmas cards we have to write, and all sorts of things. And often all of those things can just take over and crowd out us actually thinking about why we celebrate Christmas. So that part of the aim of this evening is to just leave some time to think about that. So I'd encourage you to think about the words of the passages that we read and enjoy the carols, but think about what they're about too. And we want it to be a time that's joyous and happy, but also a time that is meaningful to you. So we hope that you will enjoy this evening with us. Just a few notices. A warm welcome to Graham Wright, who will be bringing a message a bit later. After the service, there's going to be some hot punch and mince pies served, so please do stay if you can for that. On Christmas Day, there'll be a service here at 10:30 in the morning. That'll be a Christmas morning celebration led by Charlie. Okay, I'm going to pray now, and then I'm going to light the fourth Advent candle, and then we'll sing our first carol. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come together this afternoon, we come with thankful hearts to remember the birth of your Son into this world. While we sing carols that are very familiar to us, that have been sung for many years, and while we read those words in the Bible about your birth that we hear each year, or hear in nativity plays and that sort of thing, Lord, I pray that these words will not just be over familiar, but they will be fresh in our hearts this afternoon. Help us to hear the good news of Jesus' birth as if for the first time. We pray that you would help us to behold your Son and adore him in our hearts. Amen. So we'll sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful, and I'll light the fourth candle as we sing that. So do stand to sing, O Come, All Ye Faithful.
The promise of Jesus' coming, as recorded in Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased your joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Gabriel visits Mary. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
An angel reassures Joseph. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Come and share our tribulation. There's a deep king called today. See the shepherds, hurry down to birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them.
Angel's message to the shepherds. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests."
The shepherds go to see Jesus. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Saviour's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn.
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked him, "Where is the one who has been born, the King of Jews? We saw his star, and when it rose, we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers in law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are no least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel."
The Magi worshipped Jesus. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you. meaning of all these things. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son.
Well, good evening. It's lovely to be with you in Rudgwick again. For those of you who may not know, I was the pastor here for 15 years, a long time ago. That's why my hair is so white. Just thinking as I was singing along there, how many of you in this room are related to me? Because I think there's an awful lot of you. Yeah, I thought so. And who knows, there may be more in the future. You never know. I'm a chaplain at a school near Woking called Gordon's, and we recently had 4 carol services. Our chapel is a bit bigger than this, but it's certainly not big enough for the school, so we have to go on repeat. And before the first evening service, we have a choir of about 80, and 2 of the year 10 boys came to me and they said, "Sir, we're expecting some really good jokes from you this evening." I said, "Oh, great, okay, thanks." Well, I'm not really a great joke teller, but I don't like to disappoint. So here are some Christmas jokes for you. How does good King Wenceslas like his pizza? Deep pan, crisp and even. Which 2 letters of the alphabet do snowmen like best? I-C. And this is my favourite. Why did the turkey cross the road? to prove he wasn't chicken. Well, it's Christmas time, but probably not in my lifetime have things in the world been more uncertain than they are now. And the possibility of war is no longer a distant thought that can be dismissed as very unlikely. There's Russia and Ukraine. There's the Middle East. There's the Sudan. There's anti-Semitism resulting in violence and slaughter on both sides of the world. We are needing something to cling to. And as is often true, the answer is actually right in front of us. It's in the message of Christmas. Now, I looked up some facts about young people's fears and middle-aged people's fears. I didn't worry with those like me who are over the hill already. Young people's main fears today, apparently, are social rejection, failure, and not finding love. Now, they're all very deep things. Now, for the middle-aged people, it was financial instability, relationships and family, including loneliness and a sense of failure, and a lack of purpose and fulfillment, or wondering by middle age, well, why am I here? What am I doing? Where is my life going? And these are all terribly real experiences, terribly real questions and things that go round in our heads. But you know, if we go to those angels who came to the shepherds, let's listen to the words they spoke, because they speak today, not just 2,000 years ago, but in 2025. And on that night, when the angels visited the shepherds, they said, "Today is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord." Today, a Saviour is born. Imagine you're waiting for some important news. Perhaps you're sitting by the phone, hoping for a call from the doctor, or refreshing an email because you're waiting for the confirmation of a job, or standing in an airport arrivals hall, scanning every face that comes through, looking for the person you know and love. In moments like these, time always feels heavy and it drags. And when the news finally comes, you say, yes, it's here now, today. Not eventually, not in the future, but today. And that's exactly the message that the angels announced to the shepherds. Today is born this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. These words were spoken into the darkness of an ordinary night. Shepherds were watching their flocks, working people, unnoticed, unimportant in the eyes of the world. And yet it is to them that the angel announces the greatest news in human history. A Saviour is born. He is Christ the Lord. And it's not one day or someday, but today. And this tells us that God is not distant. He doesn't delay hope. The birth of Jesus shows us that God acts in real time, in real places, and in real lives. The good news of Christmas is not just an historical event. It is a present reality. Today, God steps into our world. And then we hear that today is born. God comes not with force, not with power, not with armies, not with a power move, but as a baby, the most vulnerable, dependent thing you could think of, needing care. This tells us something profound about God. He chooses closeness over control. He chooses humility over dominance. If we ever wonder what God is like, Christmas answers us. God is gentle enough to be held and yet strong enough to save. So today is born, the angels continue, in the city of David. This isn't accidental. God keeps his promises. It is an historical and a real place, Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. Centuries earlier, as we've heard read, God promised that a king would come from David's line. And Christmas reminds us that God is faithful, even when it takes time, even when people doubt, even when hope seems thin. What God promises, God always fulfills. Today is born in the city of David. The next two words are a saviour. This is the heart of the message. Please note, it's not a teacher. Many people say Jesus was a great teacher. He was, but that wasn't his main purpose. It doesn't say a philosopher, although Jesus was a great philosopher. It doesn't say he was a moral example, although he was a moral example. But it chooses, those angels chose the word saviour, because salvation, saving, is what we need most. You know, when you go to the beach, if there are lifeguards there, they're only there when things go wrong. They're not there just for fun. They're there to watch the water. And when someone's in trouble, they are the ones who go and pull them out and save them. And that's a picture of Jesus. He's come to save. Save us from sin, from brokenness, from despair, from the feeling that we're lost or alone, which many people feel. Sometimes to save us from ourselves, because we just keep getting things wrong. Christmas begins with an honest truth. Humanity needs help. And God responds not with condemnation, but with compassion. Today is born in the city of David a saviour. The next phrase, who is Christ? Now this is a technical word meaning anointed one, the Messiah, the one people had been waiting for, the one God had chosen. This child is not an afterthought. He is the fulfillment of longing and the answer to centuries of prayer. Every hope whispered by God's people finds its yes in this tiny baby. And the final word is Lord. This baby is not only a saviour. He is Lord. A Lord is someone who has power. Someone who is in control. He is meant to lead. Not just to be a comfort to us, but to be a leader to us. So Christmas invites us not only to admire Jesus, but to trust him, to follow him, to let him shape our lives. I first encountered God's all-consuming love when I was 16. It was the most profound event in my life. And as a result, I wanted nothing more but to let God shape and lead my life. So what does the angel's message mean for us today? It means that hope has been born and may be discovered in the baby in the manger. This is not just a story from long ago. It's a message for our circumstances today. It means that God comes to us even when we feel that life is ordinary or messy or uncertain. It means that salvation is a gift. It is not something we earn. And it means that the Lord of heaven chose to come close so that no one would ever be beyond his reach. Like the shepherds, we're invited not just to hear the message, but to respond. They left their sheep on the hillside. They went and found the baby. They saw, they believed, and as we heard read, they returned as changed men. Rough, uneducated shepherds. Changed by a baby? Can that be real? Yes, it is real. They couldn't hold their joy in. They told everybody they met as they went back to the hills. And they found that life had taken on a completely new dimension for each of them. Why is that? Because this baby is no ordinary baby. He's the baby who split history in two, BC and AD. He's the baby who conquered death, came back to life on the third day. He's the baby that millions of people around the world today are following. Today is born a saviour for the weary, for the hopeful, for the doubting, for you. And for those fearful of social rejection, for those who worry about money, for those who wonder if their job is secure, to those who feel they're judged all the time by social media and how many likes they get and what their friends are saying about them, for those who feel in their hearts that they're a bit insecure and needing a lot of love and an anchor and a place to rest. Well, Jesus, the baby in the manger, came to give that hope and that peace to all who turn to him and to love him and to serve him. So let me end with a question. Who is really in charge of your life right now? Is it your boss at work? Is it your friends? Is it the social media? What's the thing that drives you, that worries you when you're going to sleep at night? Getting a lot of likes, is that what really counts? Presenting that perfect image on all your posts, that everything in my life is fantastic, and all of us know that is never true. There is only one being in the universe who really knows how to put your life together. Your Creator, the Lord Jesus, the Saviour, the one who came down at Bethlehem. And he invites you to ask him to be your Lord and your Saviour. And you can do that right now. I'm going to pray. I invite you to join me. Let's bow our heads. Father God, we thank you for the Christmas season. For all the fun, the food, the family, the festivities, the decorations, the presents, so many lovely things that we enjoy together. And yet we also know that in a few days it will all be over. We'll be in January and things will be pretty flat and pretty normal again. So we thank you for the message of hope that the angels brought to those shepherds. Shepherds who weren't expecting anything but another night on a hillside, and yet whose lives were completely transformed. So if we have a sense of longing in our hearts, a sense of insecurity, a sense of wondering who we are and why we're here, then we pray that Christ the Lord, the Saviour of the world, who came as a baby to be among us, may come and touch our hearts. Help us to put our trust in you, we pray. For Jesus' sake. Amen. And our final carol is Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
To the newborn King, peace on earth.
Please be seated. And a final prayer. May the joy of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the patience of Joseph and Mary, and the peace of the Christ child be yours now and always. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us and those we love, now and forever. Amen.